Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
To know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Michigan at Penn State, biggest game of the college football weekend. Dave Revson is going to join us coming up here for the Big Ten Network. He'll join us at 20 minutes past the hour, 18 minutes from now, so stick around for that. It's also Target Demo Friday, so I'd love to hear what you guys got going on over the course of this morning as you listen to the show. How are you listening? Via app, radio station, watchda.com, whatever it is. Let me know how you're watching, where you're doing it, and what you got going on. And we will read them coming up here later on in the hour. You could do that by letting us know at both the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDAShow, and on the Twitter page, DA on CBS. Last night, the Oakland Raiders may have just saved their football season. Look, it wouldn't have been impossible for the Raiders to make the playoffs had they lost last night. Recently, ironically, the Kansas City Chiefs won or went to the playoffs, having lost five games in a row during the course of the season. And that's what would have happened to the Raiders, having gone 2-0 and then slipped up in the next four games. Last night was possibility that it would be a five-game losing streak. And they took over the football at their own 15-yard line last night with about 3 minutes to play and needed to go 85 yards and get a touchdown because a field goal doesn't do you any good to win that game. That is a gut-check moment. Derek Carr ends up slicing through the Chiefs' defense and scoring the game-winning touchdown would look to be three different times. Once to Cook, but down to the half-yard line. Once to Crabtree, but it's offensive pass interference. And then finally, on the final play of the game. That is a hell of a drive. That is a hell of a series. That's a hell of a moment inside the red zone. To stay on it continuously and not relent until you finally scored that touchdown. It was an amazing drive. And in fact, it wasn't more than 3 minutes. It was a little over 2 minutes, about 2.5 minutes, that the touchdown drive took. 11 plays, 85 yards. And Derek Carr continued to stand tall in the pocket through that entire drive and find his guys. And it says a lot about Carr, who last night threw for 417 yards, three touchdowns, no picks, no sacks, of how well he played. It says a lot about the Raiders that despite having Marshawn Lynch tossed in the middle of the game and fighting happening on the sideline of the Raiders between teammates and being down six and missing two field goals, that they found a way to pull it out of the fire. It's a big drive. And guys, can we cue up that game-winning touchdown once again? Because I love to hear the radio guys of the Raiders team just go absolutely bonkers on that TD. But it said a lot about Oakland's resiliency. But as we were talking about yesterday, Oakland won so many games last year by a touchdown or less, one score games. And this year, the same thing was coming back to bite them.
Derek going to roll left. Derek throws for the end zone, and it is caught for a touchdown by Michael Crabtree. The Raiders, and I think this time it counts.
There are no
legs.
Knees and down, in play, in the end zone. Give it to me loud now. Touchdown, Raiders!
Greg Papa on Raiders Radio. A close game went their way. They made the play at the end of the game instead of giving up the play that lost the game, like last week against the Chargers. So say that for the Raiders. They absolutely saved their playoff hopes. 3-4 feels a lot different than 2-5. Huge job by the Raiders. But there is another subplot here. And that is the Chiefs defense got zigged again. Again, this is 2 weeks in a row now that the Chiefs defense did not come up with a stop when it mattered. And last week, yes, the Steelers for 60 minutes were the better football team and swarmed the Chiefs offense and made the Chiefs attack look silly. But last night, Kansas City put up 30 points on the road in a divisional game. Alex Smith threw for 342, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and they still lost. The Chiefs defense, which had been a strength of this team the last 5 years, the Chiefs defense only had to get one stop over the course of 85 yards and could not do it. Could not get off the field. And that worries me about Kansas City because I think that offense is going to be really good the entire season. The way Alex Smith is playing right now, he's mastered the offense. Tyreek Hill, as we saw last night, tremendous home run threat. Kareem Hunt, very good back, on the ground, through the air. Travis Kelce, excellent tight end, one of the best in football. But if you can't stop anybody or you can't stop the opponent when you have a lead late, you've only got to bow your back once over 85 yards, it makes you wonder about that loss of Eric Berry. Had Berry been in there, did the Chiefs win that game last night? Does he make the play to seal the win? And don't look now, but the Chiefs, who had a 2.5-game lead over the Patriots 2 weeks ago, now have a 0.5-game lead over the Patriots if New England wins on Sunday night against the Atlanta Falcons. Through all of this, the Patriots looked like they were going to be run past in the AFC, and yet here we are, just 7 weeks into the season, and by the end of Sunday, both the Chiefs and the Patriots could both be 5-2. Chiefs would have the tiebreaker having one head-to-head, but goes to show you that things even out real quickly and you've got to take care of your business. I know it's early, but both the Steelers and the Chiefs had a chance to create separation with the Patriots with an early lull by New England, and they really didn't do that. All those teams now have 2 losses. But the Chiefs defense needs to look in the mirror. If your offense gives you 30 points on the road in the division and a touchdown lead with 2 minutes to play, and you've just got to make one stop over 85 yards and you can't do it, you've got to look in the mirror. College football weekend got some good games. We're going to talk about Michigan and Penn State with Dave Revson, Big Ten Network, coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But first, it's time for Ward's Winners.
While Mraz is picking the lettuce off his sandwich, Ward is picking winners. It's Ward's Winners. Only on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, James Ward, executive producer of Sunday Morning Football. How'd you do last weekend?
Last week I was 2-1, another winning week. I'm now 14-8 on the season.
Making money, which is what counts. And so we go to Ward's Winners right now. Louisville, Florida State, ACC matchup, both team seasons on the rocks. It's a touchdown favor, a little bit less for Florida State at home. They're laying 6.5, and you're taking the Seminoles.
I'm taking the Seminoles. I know it's a dicey proposition to take a team with a 2-3 record to cover a touchdown spread, but I think this game matches up really well for Florida State. They do one thing really well offensively, and it's running the football. They have 2 dynamic running backs. Louisville gave up 272 yards on the ground to A.J. Dillon of Boston College last week.
Right.
I think the Florida State running backs are a little bit better. No offense to Mr. Dillon. Boston College scored 45 points against Louisville last week. Their most in an ACC game since 2009. So a lot of talk so far this year about Florida State has been their quarterback play. I don't really think it's going to matter. I think Justin Blackmon's going to do just enough to keep the game close, and I think Florida State's defense is going to win the game.
When it comes to the SEC, you pick the big game of the weekend. It's Alabama. It's Auburn. Oh, you went Kentucky, Mississippi State.
Where else?
The Wildcats are 5-1, and yet they're getting 12 points on the road in Stark Vegas.
Yeah, this was almost a layoff it because it was just, it seemed too crazy, but I couldn't help myself.
Sure.
Kentucky has one loss. It was to Florida by 1 point. Mississippi State has looked bad in the SEC play. They looked really good last week against BYU, but who doesn't look good against BYU? Kentucky quarterback Steven Johnson, one of the most underrated signal callers in the SEC. All he does is win. He doesn't turn the ball over. He does just enough to win. Kentucky's defense is kind of a bend but don't break. Mississippi State quarterback Nick Fitzgerald is a dynamic player, but he's kind of been up and down all year. I don't really think he's going to be able to run the ball like he did last week against BYU. 12 points, I think this game's decided by probably 7, 5 points, something like that.
Feels like a big line. I would agree.
Yeah, these two teams are comparable teams. They're not in the top of the SEC. They're not in the bottom of the SEC. They're somewhere in the middle. So I think it's a touchdown game.
And finally, Pac-12 action. Arizona at Cal. You like the Wildcats laying the field goal on the road in Berkeley.
I do, and this line has swung incredibly. Cal was actually a 1.5-point favorite when this game opened up. They're now 3-point dogs. I think a lot of this is how Arizona quarterback Khalil Tate played. He's rushed for 557 yards through the last two games. So I think this is Rich Rod really has his quarterback that he, it's not Pat White, it's not Denard Robinson, but he finally has a quarterback that can run the football. Cal's best defensive player, a linebacker, Devontae Downs, went down last week for the season. He actually led Cal in sacks, tackles, tied for interception lead, and tied for forced fumbles. And when you play a team like Arizona that's going to run the ball almost every down, not having your star linebacker is a big deal. So I think Arizona wins this game comfortably.
Ward's winners, Arizona, Kentucky, and Florida State this weekend. Check out his complete college football coverage of Ward's winners as part of his blog post. His column every single week, along with Meraz's Up the Gut picks as well, by going to daoncbs.com. Again, that's daoncbs.com, and then check out the producer's post. And there's been some friendly fire this week because Meraz has accused James Ward of mailing in producing, and Ward fired back on this week's PGP podcast. So no love lost. Meraz making enemies all over this office.
I like the smug look on his face as he's looking at me do this segment.
Who's coming
it's
up
very telling.
Sunday Morning Football?
Well, as you know, I did a great job this week booking Rich Gannon for
Rich
the show.
Rich Gannon.
So, former NFL MVP.
Former NFL MVP.
I don't want to really pack myself on the back too hard, but I will.
Yeah, Rich Gannon's going to join us, Bilotti.
Oh, that's just a great job. I've seen many producers, but that's an excellent
job. Excellent job. Yes, excellent job booking that.
Thanks,
yes.
Pete.
My fans know the truth.
Sunday Morning Football. Meraz just making enemies everywhere he goes the last couple of weeks around the office, so no favors done for him. When we come back, Dave Revson is going to join us for the Big Ten Network. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
All right, DA, we got to do it real big now, man. We got to put a little extra hot sauce on it in the new time slot.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Put some extra hot sauce on it, make it a little wet, a little drippy.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
I need an extra side, a little wet, a little drippy this weekend.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
The best college football game of the weekend comes to us from Happy Valley. And remember, on Sunday morning, we will recap it immediately with Sunday Morning Football. I'll be hosting 9 a.m. as always, CBS Sports Radio right here, as we break it all down. Joining us from the Big Ten Network as he helps us look inside this big game is lead studio host Dave Revson. Dave, good morning, man. How you doing?
I'm good, Damon. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. As always, thanks so much for joining us. And we start right here. Do you think there's an issue with Jim Harbaugh's Michigan Wolverines in these rivalry games? There's not many of them, but in his couple of years at the helm, they haven't seemed to be able to get over the hump consistently.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this would necessarily be considered one of their rivalry games. I mean, to me, it's Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Michigan State are their rivals. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh's only won one of those games. So I do think that that's an issue. I don't know that it necessarily applies to this one, but it certainly applied a couple weeks ago when they lost to the Spartans. It's applied in their games against Ohio State. I mean, you know, this was the issue with Brady Hoke. Well, among many issues, I mean, obviously it just kind of went off the rails at the end, but he went 4-8 against Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Michigan State combined. And you just have to beat those programs, not because necessarily only because they're your rivals, but because those are the other elite teams, and that's who Michigan kind of measures themselves against.
Do you feel like there could be an issue not only in rivalry games for Michigan, but in the games against the big boys, of which this would qualify, those top five, top ten matchups?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was looking through it this week. So Michigan has lost 14 straight road games against ranked teams. They haven't beaten a ranked team on the road since 2006. If you look through the power conferences, the only teams that have gone longer without a win over a ranked team on the road are Colorado and Purdue. And what's really amazing about that was in the 10 years prior to that, from 1996 to 2006, they won 15 road games against ranked teams. They haven't won one since 2006. They won 15 in the decade prior to that. It just gives you a sense of kind of what's happened to this program. And look, it's the winningest program in college football history. They're good. I mean, they're close. You know, Jim Harbaugh has certainly improved this team and gotten them better. You know, they were basically an inch away from beating Ohio State and winning the East last year. So it's not like they're that far off. But I think Michigan fans are just at the point mentally where they want to see this team start winning those games. And the early returns this year aren't great with the loss to Michigan State, and now this one looms large tomorrow.
Yeah, and this is their next crack at one of them. But last year, this was a Michigan runaway. The Wolverines, a year ago, demolished Penn State 49-10. And it feels like that was a turning point for both programs in some ways. Penn State hadn't lost after that until they obviously got to the Rose Bowl. So they ran the table after that. This year, they come in number two in the country. Michigan is not the powerhouse that we would have thought maybe after that. So what do you think happened in that game? And why do you think the script has been flipped a year later?
Okay, so in that game, and I'm not trying to make any excuses for Penn State. I mean, they were just flat out outplayed in that game. But their top three linebackers were hurt. The fourth one was ejected for targeting in the first half, and then the fifth one got hurt. So they were playing with linebackers 6, 7, and 8 in that game. And you know, Michigan just ran all over them. Michigan was better last year. I mean, they were just a far more dynamic offensive team. I do think it is fair to point out that, you know, Michigan had the most players drafted of any school in the country. They had 11 players go to the NFL draft. They essentially brought back one defensive starter, although the defense has still been great, depending on how you count it, like four offensive starters. So, I mean, this is a team that you would expect to be rebuilding this year. And so I'm not surprised that Michigan is not quite as good as they were a year ago. Last year was their window, I think, to have a really good year. And then I think next year will be a window as well, because they're going to be a veteran and experienced team. I kind of always thought that they'd be a shade behind this year, but they've really dropped off offensively. I mean, they're still fabulous on defense. To me, it's as exciting a defense as there is to watch in the country. Don Brown is a master with the blitz and with keeping teams off balance. And it's still a great defensive team. They just can't figure it out at quarterback. They've got an injury to Wilton Spade. John O'Korn hasn't been great. The offensive line is underwhelming. They don't have a dominant tailback. So there's just a lot of things on the offensive side that give you pause with Michigan.
Dave Revson, a Big Ten Network, ahead of Penn State, Michigan, coming up tomorrow night. And so for the Penn State side of things, boy, this is a brutal three-week stretch. They've got Michigan tomorrow, at Ohio State next weekend, and then at East Lansing against Michigan State the week after. What do you think? Can Penn State run the table in those three?
Well, it's going to be really challenging. I don't really feel like they're clicking as well as they could offensively either. I mean, they're certainly a far better offensive team than Michigan is. They have a fantastic quarterback in Trace McSorley. They have a really good wide receiver crew. And then Saquon Barkley, as you know, is about as dynamic a back as there is in the country, DA. But you know, 2 weeks ago, we did our pregame show at their game against Northwestern, and at halftime, he had negative rushing yards. And other than one long run where essentially the referee screened off the guy who was trying to make the tackle, other than that, he averaged 1 yard a carry in that game. And the explanation for that isn't Saquon Barkley to me. It's the offensive line, which just has not been great. You know, they've given up a ton of tackles for loss, 50 on the year, the most in the Big Ten. And Trace McSorley's good enough as a quarterback to create something out of nothing. He's really good on his feet and can scramble. But it's tough for a tailback. So they need to figure that out here going forward because they're going to come up against some elite defenses over these next 3 weeks. I already mentioned how good Michigan is. Ohio State's front four is absolutely dominant. You know, to me, personnel-wise, one of the best in the country. We all know about Greg Schiano when I asked him on the tour about how good this defensive line was talent-wise compared to the ones he had in the NFL, and he said better. So that gives you a sense of where that group is. And then Michigan State's defense, particularly up front, has really revived itself. So we'll learn a lot about Michigan State, or about Penn State, I should say, here in the next few weeks. I will say this, they are dramatically improved on defense. I mean, they have gone from 47th in the nation in scoring defense last year to first this year. They are totally shutting opponents down. And when you're that good on D, you have a chance in every game. But winning three in a row is going to be a huge challenge, no doubt. A
couple of weeks ago when Wilton Spade went down, there were Wolverines fans that told me, we'll be better with John Okorn. We'll be better. He's more mobile. He can make more throws. Spade doesn't do enough. And right. I wonder, was that overblown? Was that overstated?
Well, he is more mobile. I mean, I do think that's true. He's just made some bad decisions with the ball. And, you know, again, that no matter how much more mobile you might be, if you're a quarterback and you're putting the ball in harm's way, that hurts you. Wilton Spate, you know, to me, makes better decisions with the football. I mean, the three interceptions against Michigan State is kind of front and center with Okorn. And then, you know, last week, even in a game that was really close, it just appeared as if Jim Harbaugh didn't really have a lot of faith in him to throw the ball downfield. I mean, he averaged less than 3 yards per attempt last week. He threw 20 passes and he threw for 58 yards. So, and I just don't know that Michigan is good enough to just depend on the tailback. Now, Caron Higdon had a great game last week. And so if that can be the story here going forward, then given how good the defense is, if they can have a dominant running game, they can figure out a way. I just don't know that they're good enough to do that because of the limitations of the line. But I understand where Michigan fans are coming from, kind of this notion that if you don't have a great offensive line, that you want a more mobile quarterback. And I do think Okorn's more capable of creating with his feet, but the decisions he makes with the ball kind of outweigh that a little bit in my mind.
Dave Revson, Big Ten Network, joins us ahead of the big one tomorrow, Michigan at Penn State. I want to ask you a coaching question. Nebraska is made a change at athletic director, and now yep. people want him to make that change at head coach. Do you think there will be good candidates that want to be the head coach in Nebraska, even though they've fallen on some hard times in recent years?
Well, let's see how things go. I mean, look, I'll be the first to say I love Mike Riley as a person. I mean, he's really just a fantastic guy. And so it's impossible to know him and not root for him. You know, that being said, I think his back is up against the wall, and he would probably be, if given some truth serum, the first person to tell you that. But Bill Moose, the athletic director, came in and essentially said, I'm going to wait until the end of the year, and we're going to evaluate. So let's kind of see where it goes. I think there are limitations to the Nebraska program now that there didn't used to be. I mean, you know, they were a powerhouse. They were on TV every single week, and it just kind of reinforced itself. And in this day and age, everyone's on TV every week, and so that's not an advantage anymore. The way that recruiting has changed has really hurt them, DA. They're, because of where they're located, you don't have a lot of prospects within the state. And so what you need to do is cast a wide net. And kids are committing so early now. I mean, they're committing in their junior year, and it used to be that you couldn't bring a kid on campus for an official visit, which, just so that people understand, the difference with an official visit is, of course, you can pay for a kid and his family to come, whereas an unofficial, they have to pay their own way. Well, it's hard to get kids to make unofficials to Nebraska. You have to really want to go there because it's out of the way. And so the new recruiting rules, which are taking effect this year, which will allow kids to make official visits in their junior year, I think are going to be really advantageous to Nebraska. And so a really good recruiter will be able to take advantage of that. They have a passionate fan base. They have great facilities, although a lot of people have great facilities now. So I just think the changing landscape of college football has hurt them, but it is still, in my mind, a really good job. Is it one of the top five jobs in the country like it used to be? Probably not. Is it one of the top 20? Yeah, it's absolutely one of the top 20. And so there are people out there who will want a job that's a top 20 job with a passionate fan base. I just think the fans need to be realistic as to kind of what you can expect at Nebraska. Are national championships realistic? Maybe you compete for one once or twice a decade. I do think it's reasonable to ask that the team competes for conference championships. And that's something they haven't even won since 1999. So that kind of needs to be the goal. I think you recalibrate a little bit if you're a Nebraska fan, but I don't think there's any reason to think that this team can't attract a good coach.
Dave Revson, lead studio host of Big Ten Network, also the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Opening Kickoff, The Tumultuous Birth of a Football Nation. A very, very good read, a very good book. I highly encourage it. Can't wait to see what happens with Michigan and Penn State tomorrow. Dave, it's always fun to catch up, man. Thank you for finding the time for us.
All right, DA. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
You got it. You can follow Dave on Twitter at BTN Dave Revson. You know, later on today, if you're into baseball and getting ready for game number six, check out MLB Network because our very own bogeyman, Andrew Bogus, will be making his debut over there.
Oh, the nerves are kicking in, DA.
Is it nerves time for you?
Yeah, we're almost there. I actually feel like I should know something by now. Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
4 o'clock Eastern time you're going
to
be on.
4 Eastern, to all the way to 5 Eastern.
4 to 5 Eastern time.
MLB Now, myself, former Rockies GM Dan O'Dowd, former longtime big leader Carlos Pena, and Paul Severino's in charge of the whole thing.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
So many emotions so many. Right now. Well
yes.
done,
thank you,
Bogus.
Thank you.
So
yes.
Watch that today, 4 until 5 Eastern time on MLB Now. Network getting you set for game number 6 and a huge Justin Verlander gem to push this to game number 7. When we come back, it's a Target Demo Friday, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
She said every time she felt like eating something bad, she would sniff the kitty litter box, and that's how she lost like 30 pounds.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
40 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Appreciate you being with us on a fine Friday. Remember, if you missed any part of this show, you want to hear it again, it's all good. We got it archived for you. Number one, you could listen to full episodes on iTunes. Just search DA and CBS. You could watch full episodes of the show. The most recent episode of the DA show airs on loop at watchda.com until the next episode. Plus, the best clips, video-wise, we post on both our Facebook page and on YouTube. So you can go to youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. Or just search the DA show on CBS Sports Radio and YouTube, and you'll find all those clips as well. And let me just say this. Target Demo Friday reminds me how great our listeners are, how locked in you guys are, how funny and smart you guys are. And I know I can be a lot to handle sometimes. I will come in hot. I will bash people. I will crush maybe your favorite team, your favorite player, your favorite producer.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
And I just want you to know, I appreciate you sticking with me. I have a hard time filtering. It just kind of comes out, and it can come out kind of hot. And sometimes I could have a tone problem, and we live in a divisive, opinionated time, and that could drive people away. But you guys have stuck with me, and I appreciate it. And I'm sure a lot of you disagree with some of my takes, maybe all of my takes. But it always is a reminder on Friday how great the D-Aliens are, and I truly, truly appreciate it because it always makes me feel good when we get to learn what you guys are doing and how you're listening to the show and how you're locked in every single week. Mraz has driven us all away in droves. Vegas Sports Talk tweets, though, DA, I agree with Mraz. The Yankee fans don't have to apologize for our success. Daniel tweets, we can't call Mraz a pig. The dictator deserves to be a hog. Hogs are mean and snappy, and that's Mraz to a T. The problem is, right now, he is making everybody hate him.
World Series bound!
I have yet to win a championship since CBS Sports Radio launched. It's my time around these halls.
Hit on the ground, fair. You're going to send him. The relay throw home is not in time. It is a ribby double for Aaron Judge.
2 wins away from the World Series, boys. Astros, elimination day coming Friday. World Series, here we come.
Line hard, base hit, over third, down the left field line, rolling to the left field corner. One run has scored.
Seize the moment. Yankee time. Pinstripe pride.
World Series bound.
Pitch swung on. There goes deep left. It is high. It is far. There it is. Gone. He is the San Gino.
World Series bound.
Another 1-2-3. It's a brilliant three-hit shutout by Tanaka through six. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Kate Upton, get the tissues ready. We're coming home, sweetheart.
Chad tweets, if Mraz is the working man's rep, then we're all doomed. Hashtag not my rep. Hashtag piggy doodle dandy. Snorting, oinking, and pigging his way through everything. Mike tweets, the history buff in me wants Dodgers versus Bombers. The Mets fan in me wants the Yankees to die a slow and painful death. These are not good options. A lot of people crushing Mraz on Twitter, and understandably so. Bobby tweets, seriously, if the Yanks win tonight, I can't listen to your show tomorrow. Mraz is just too unbearable. I'll tell you what, Bobby. If the Yankees win tonight, I promise not to do a show tomorrow. I will not be here. I will not be on the air. I will not allow Mraz on the air. That's it. That's a promise from me to you. A Yankees win tonight, I will not be on the air tomorrow at all. Just remember that. I'm doing this for you guys.
Who do you think will do the show for us tomorrow?
Ack?
Aaron Judge.
Time for your Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Steven tweets, DA, how long do you think it'll take Lonzo to get adjusted to the NBA game? Well, I don't know if this is quite the adjustment to the NBA game. I think it's an adjustment to the attention and how players are out to defeat him and go one-on-one with him and make their own brand out of defeating him, like Patrick Beverley did. I think the game itself isn't too big for Lonzo. I wonder if the intensity and the frustration of other players, the anger of coming at him, being a target, might be a little too big, and that might take him the entire rookie season. He's going to have some really good games. He's too talented not to, but he looked like a deer in headlights last night, like, oh my God, this big man wants to beat me up. Sign up to be an O Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, free, only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Time for a Target Demo Friday.
It's a three-hour black hole block party. Here's what our listeners are doing as they connect to the mothership.
On Facebook, it's Dan in Wisconsin listening via the iHeartRadio app. Looking forward to Giannis versus LeBron tonight. And Sunday watching Brett Hundley throw for 303 touchdowns and a win over the Saints. That'll be your cold open, DA.
All right.
Zach in Appleton, Wisconsin, proud Brewers fan, always ready to put the big pig in his place. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He needs to keep his mouth shut. I'll pay you to mute his mic, DA.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
I wish I could. Michael on the radio.com at Metro Chicagoland at the office grinding. Stankies lose. Dem boys win. The tide rolls. Penn State wins. Great week at a barbecue, as Ric Flair would say. Woo! Nancy, if the Yankees pull it off, I think you should wear a pig nose for the week. Pink to match the pink Speedo that you'll wear after borrowing it from Mraz. And that's from Mraz's mom to me.
Yeah! Nancy, busy day at work for her.
Nancy Mraz telling me I need to wear a pig nose when the Yankees win. Chip off the old block. Apple didn't far fall from the tree. Fall far from the tree on that block. Only six houses down. Scott, listening on the good old AM/FM radio, Southern Tier, New York, putting more of our guard into bed for the season. Peace.
All right.
Denisio, walking around Hoboken, New Jersey, looking for lunch. CBS Sports app, TGIF, waiting for the Yankees tonight. Hashtag my time. Support the movement.
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
It is. Derek, listening on Apple Music, working my ass off, driving the truck, delivering food. Mirage, you're welcome. Taking my daughter to her first concert tonight. Hashtag no justice for Richard Justice.
All right.
Justin, CBS Sports app at work, like every workday.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
John, try being a Browns and Indians fan. Thank goodness for the Cavs, Mraz, you pig.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
Robert, CBS 1430 in Indianapolis. Go Astros. Hashtag gluttony plus sodium.
Puffiness with sodium.
I want an Oompa Loompa now.
John, Bryant, Arkansas, listening at work. CBS Sports app.
Electronically ignorant.
Paul, 1240, Reading, PA, hauling asphalt. Love the show. Always entertaining. Thank you.
That's very good, Damon.
Tyler, Distribution Center, listening on the TuneIn app, Dallas, Texas.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
On Twitter, Chad, respecting the grind, TuneIn app, looking forward to JV handling the Yankees, as in Verlander, whom recently surpassed the Patriots as the most hated fans.
All right.
Jeff, listening to the TuneIn app, doing a fundraiser at our local high school. We'll listen to Sunday morning football while splitting firewood on Sunday. Requiem for Oblivion, DA, CBS Sports app while laying carpet in good old Erie, PA.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
E, TuneIn app. I even got a job, Damien, but TGIF, hashtag no job, hashtag bum.
Brandon Wheaton's a bum.
Michael, 98-1, the ticket, Abilene, Texas, driving to Lubbock. Weekend full of college football and WWE hell in a cell. Rob, 96.3 in Erie, PA, building drill motors for oil wells. Wife and I going on a haunted house binge this weekend.
She's a bad girl, David.
Tyler, Boise, Idaho, 93-1, the ticket. Looking forward to watching the Steelheads hockey boys kick some Utah Grizz butt. Jason, 970, Duluth, Minnesota. Listening on my Milwaukee work radio, my big brown truck. DA, you get me through the Monday, get me through all the mornings. Hashtag Delivery Guy Nation. Hashtag beat me up. And that is your Target Demo Friday. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls, as we battle at just how bad a fan Mraz is.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
A bunch of arrogant, obnoxious, aggressive New Yorkers that feel entitled, and so you can curse out and fight everybody in the parking lot.
We are nice people. We even let Marlins man sit behind home plate.
Hey, Daddy, I want an Oompa Loompa.
I want an Oompa Loompa. I want another championship. We only have 27, Daddy.
I want an Oompa Loompa now.
I want a 28th championship, Daddy. I haven't had one in 8 years. Pigs, swine. I hope you guys lose by 11 tonight.
She knows everything, and I know nothing.
Can they lose twice tonight is really my question. Is there a way for them to double lose game six and thus end the series? Is that a thing?
It is such a shame that we have to hate on the Yankees because they're actually a likable team.
Having a heat wave, a tropical heat.
No, but Eric, that makes it, that's why we hate them. That for this group, the worst thing about them is they're the Yankees.
They're actually a likable young
for
group.
Now.
For now.
The turn's coming.
I mean, CC Sabathia dried out. That was good.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
But their fans are so obnoxious, this entitled group of pigs.
30 days has September. That's what I have to do, April, June, and November. So
I'm just getting a text coming in. Didn't Dodger fans try to kill somebody a couple years ago?
It's a couple years ago.
So we can't have a woman drop a couple F-bombs in August, but they could kill anybody, and they're the great fans?
You have been particularly snorting for months now. Well, weeks now.
I'm excited to see my team succeed. I didn't make the playoffs three of the last 4 years.
What does 18-14 mean?
My God.
Seriously. You know how many freaking haunted houses I had to go to the last couple of Octobers because the Yankees weren't
alive? Go on for the Brewers, you moron.
He didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, so tough being a Brewer fan. You get to root for the Packers, too. Give me a break.
Don't say Michael again. I'm hanging up on you. Don't say it again.
You're wearing a Mets shirt!
Always deflection. You're unbelievable. You are the worst fan ever.
Let's go Yankees. It's our time.
I mean,
now.
If you wanted to make one concession, stop referencing 2009 as if it was 1909.
Right.
Okay, it wasn't that long ago.
I was in my early 20s. I'm in my 30s
years is
now.
Nothing.
8 years.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
By the way, if you guys were wondering where Mraz gets his stubborn obnoxiousness from, Mama Mraz also putting on Facebook, we're getting the champagne chilled right now. This is the attitude of the Mraz household. This is where he gets it from. Even his mom is taunting us with the Yankee arrogance.
My time now.
I want an Oompa Loompa now!
We need one. Been too long. Girardi's got to change his number. It's finally our time. And tonight's the night we dance to the World Series.
I can't wait until we all dance in your grave. Justin Verlander breaking your heart tonight. And then a game seven for all the marbles. And Mraz and the Yankees. George strikes out. Can't wait. All right, that'll do it for us this morning here on The DA Show, and this week as well. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer, Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel, and Chris Venezia, wonderful job at WatchDA.com as your digital simulcast producer today. Be good and be good to one another. Thanks, everybody, for a wonderful week. Enjoy baseball, football. See you for Sunday morning football. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.